It's Shabbat Re'e. For all of you linguists out there, you'll know that Re'e Lirot, to see. And Re'e in this translation there could be translated as behold. I want to have a look at that a little bit closer in a moment, but for the time being, behold, we could say Re'e. The Torah portion came from Devarim, Deuteronomy 11, 26 through to 32. The Haftarah there was from Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, 1 through to 5. And from the Messianic writings, we had the letter to the Jewish community in Philippi. That's the so-called Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through to 13. I have learnt in all things to be content. What a wonderful statement that Shaul understood. I suspect the kind of statement that he was only able to make towards the end of his life, rather than at the beginning. He's a man who has, as he said, learnt to be content in all things. You don't learn that in 2 or 3 weeks. He's a man who's experienced God's blessings in various forms at times of his life, which brings us really to the question this morning. And the question is this, that I think comes out of the text of Devarim: who wants to be blessed? Who wants to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed? Yes? Good. Okay. Silly question, maybe. Maybe you're thinking it's a trick question. It is not a trick question. Exactly as you said, we all want to be blessed, yes? There's not one of us who's going to sit here and say we don't want to be. And Moshe, I think, in a sense presupposes the answer to this question of do you want to be blessed, when he begins to outline for us the possibilities open to us as the Israelites, the Jewish nation, about to enter the land. The choices, the decisions that we're going to make once we have arrived at our destination. There's a startling truth in all of this. I'm just going to jump into chapter 11, Deuteronomy. And it runs like this. This is what he says. Chapter 11, I'm going to pick up from 29. And it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which you go to possess, that you shall put the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of the Jordan, towards the setting sun, in the land of the Canaanites, who dwell in the plain opposite Gilgal, beside the terebinth trees of Moreh? Or was it pistachio? I think Stern translated in the past. The pistachio trees, for those of you who like pistachios, would be pleased to hear that. For you will cross over the Jordan, and you will go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you will possess it and dwell in it. And you shall be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. There's a shocking reality comes out of these just four simple verses that we've read here. A couple of verses. A shocking reality, he says, on this mountain you put blessing, on this mountain you put a curse. Moshe puts before us on this day the truth that in the land itself, both blessings and curses are potentially going to be ours. That's quite a shock when you think about it. If that was me, I would be thinking to myself as I'm queuing up on this side of the Jordan and making sure my inflatables are good so I can get through the water. Yeah, I'm just checking that everyone, my family's there, we're getting across the river. You know what, guys? We are going home. We have arrived. And I'd be thinking to myself, once we're in the land, let the glory days begin. It will be blessing after blessing after blessing. That's all we're going to have. After all, didn't the Lord say that we were going to get to this country? The ancient prophecies and promises, the inheritance, the covenantal faithfulness of our God. All of this we know. And at this moment, we're standing at the side of the river and we're thinking to ourselves, all of this is true. And when we get to the other side, it is going to be glory all the way. What on earth could go wrong when we're in the land? The promises are there. The inheritance is good. It's just going to be blessing after blessing after blessing. The wonderful times we are going to have. And Moshe comes along and says this. He says, when you get into the land, there'll be two mountains. You'll be staring at these two mountains, and one will be called blessings and one will be called curses. And he says, effectively, today you stand before those two mountains. And Moshe says, you decide. You decide. It's not a decision that we'd want to have. It's not something I would want to be doing at that point. I would just want to have the good times roll. We're in the land of the blessings. But no, there's things we have to bear in mind when we get to that point. Individually, nationally, as a community, there are ways of achieving that blessing, ways of actually making sure that the mountain of blessing comes our way and not just the mountain of curse. And the first key that we see in the scriptures to unlocking how we actually walk in blessing with the Lord begins with that very simple word we've already mentioned in the title, Re'e, behold, see. It's an imperative form, which actually we better translate it as, look, I want you to understand this. That's effectively what Moshe is saying. He says, come on, look, guys. Do you see what I mean? He's saying. Because this is important, and he says, I want you to understand it and get it into your heads. It's not just seeing with your eyes. To see this, understand this, get hold of this. This is critical, he says to you, to be able to live in the land and to actually get the blessings which God really does want to bring you. Over 400 times this verb used in the Tanakh, but just a handful in this way. The most critical of them actually is, you know, where it says later on, see, today I have laid before you life and death. Choose life. And again, that little word re'e is used in exactly the same way. Re'e, critically, used at those moments when we are meant to chiefly understand something which is really deep to understanding how we are meant to live, how we're meant to be, how we are to be in the land. And here he says again, re'e, get this. Really important that we understand. This seeing, they're using this kind of figurative way, if you like, is not just take note here, but setting out the menu of clear choices that lay before you and the need to be able to choose, the need to activate our free will in a way which we will agree with the Lord and obey him. To see, used in this way in the Hebrew, to see is to decide, it is to choose. And interesting enough, Esau, when Yaakov is standing before him, disguised as his brother, is one of the other chances that we see this. And Esau says, see the smell of my son. And clearly, he doesn't see, does he? But it's used in the same way. Here is a man who is clearly not seeing what is right before him. He's not making the right decisions. He's not understanding. He's not seeing. He thinks he's about to bless one, but actually he's blessing another son. And again, used in this way, we see the importance that comes out of all of this is making right choices. It's all about being able to choose. We know the flip side in all of this of making wrong choices. Let me take you back to a certain woman who we all have heard about so often, of a woman called Chava, who saw the fruit in the garden. And what did she choose? Did she choose to obey God, or did she choose to walk contrary to him? And she chose the wrong way. She chose to walk in the flesh, not the spirit. And so we understand this seeing. Seeing is about right choices, the choices you have every day. The choices that you evaluate in faith and understanding and the implications of what you see, testing them against scripture and beginning to judge righteously. Re'e, says Moshe. See, understand it, get it. Don't just look at what is before you and think you understand that situation like Chava thought she understood. But actually see with true eyes, judgment of the Spirit. Which kind of takes us to the next point in this walking in the blessings. If to actually begin to activate that life in the blessing means to see clearly, to see righteously and understand what you are looking at, the next step along this is not just choosing and making decisions, it's to choose them wisely and to make righteous choices. Let me just take you back to Harvard for a moment. She's been going around my head a lot recently, as you can tell. I've been writing one or two things about this for the study coming up, so it's still fresh in my memory. But there's something here which we need to understand. Because Harvard's inability to choose wisely in this situation, because she did not check out the story she was hearing. She had a choice. She could see what was in front of her, and she had a real choice, a real decision to make that day. But she didn't check the story out. The serpent was coming along and telling her, blah, 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 blah. Oh, did God really say? What should she have done at that moment? She couldn't have just taken her Bible out of the tree. There wasn't one. But there was someone who did know what God had said. Who was that? Adam. In fact, what Chava should have done at that moment was to have gone back to her husband and asked him, is this true? Did God say this, or is this serpent deceiving me? That's what she should have done. And do you know why she should have done this? Because Chava didn't actually hear God say those words about what to do or not do. Adam heard them. If you read the chronology quite closely, you'll realize it was Adam who was told not to eat of the tree. Chava then comes later on. In one sense, you think she couldn't have been blamed for not understanding this, not seeing this. But what she should have done was to go back and check with her husband. And Adam would have said, no, I don't believe that's true what the servant is telling you. And then we wouldn't have had the chaos that we have today. But do you notice something from this too? What she saw, and that moment, her unwise decisions and choices that kicked in, teach us something powerful about what is actually real for us as humanity. Our choices are real. But God did not at that point just kind of come into the garden and say to Chava, no, I'm not going to let you take that fruit. No, 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 that's the wrong way. Shut that down. Let's remove it from you. Her choice and decision was real, and it was powerful, and it actually changed the course of history. And God did not intervene. Not a case of where you're standing before someone who's offering you drugs or something, and you say, it's okay, God will stop me from doing this. He is not going to stop you from doing it. If you choose to do that, that is what you will do, and it will change the course of your life. You know, he never takes away our freedom to choose. We have free will because God has given us free will. As Jews, we don't believe in fatalism, historical determinism. Our power to choose is real and God-given. And yet, in the middle of all of this choice that we have, right as today we're standing before the two mountains of blessing and curse, the choice is real and powerful. And it's in our hands, and yet through all of this, we discover God's will is always done. Strange as it may seem, although we have freedom to choose, God's will is done. All of which may lead you to conclude somehow that these wrong choices, shall we say, dare we say, sin being built into the system, to somehow achieve God's will, but you would be wrong to conclude that. You'd be wrong because you're missing the point. You see, what it does show is the truth of another statement that we read frequently in this portion that runs all the way through here with the choices that we have. God keeps on reminding us, he says again and again, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Why this constant reminder in the midst of all of these choices that God is putting in front of us? And I believe if you correctly understand it, if you understand why he keeps reminding us of all of that, a wonderful truth really leaps off the pages in all of this. God is our salvation. In Yeshua we see it. He was the one who redeemed us and brought us out of Egypt. In other words, when that choice is before you, Do you choose this way or do you choose this way? Do you choose to do what God wants you to do or do you choose to not do what God wants you to do? He reminds you, nevertheless, I'm the God who brings you out of Egypt. Nevertheless, I'm the God of your salvation. In other words, what we discover through this is that when we choose wrongly, when we make wrong decisions in our lives, our God is still the God who brings us salvation. Redemption is still able to overcome our wrong choices. That's what it really teaches us. It's not that somehow our wrong choices are part of the system that God has built in all of this. He effectively says to us, when you choose wrong, I am so strong and powerful that I can overcome your wrong choices and redeem you and bring salvation to you. Yes, you may stand before that drug dealer and he may give you the drugs and you may take that wrong decision and you may take the drugs and you may end up messing up your life, and God still says to you, yet I will redeem you. That's what this scripture teaches us. That it is never hopeless. That even if we make those wrong choices, and as Israel we did, and we still pursued idols, and we still corrupted the temple, and we still did all of these things as the nation of God, and yet God still did what? In due season, Messiah was born to us. And we must never forget that. What this tells us powerfully is that human choice is real, but so is God's power to redeem is real. Choice and freedom calls for redemption to be there. It's necessary. Salvation is necessary because of the human weakness and propensity to err and disobey God. It needs to be there, because otherwise what would God do? The moment that mankind went astray, at that moment, it would be over. There'd be nothing more to be done. But it isn't over. It isn't over because redemption and salvation is what and who God is, what he does. He brings us salvation day after day after day. It doesn't matter how messed up your life is, what situations you have in your life. God says to you, you may have chosen the wrong path, but I can bring you back to the right one. That is what he says. His salvation and redemption is way more fixed than any kind of choices or decisions that we may think is just fixed in our lives as some fatalistic view. His ability to save to the uttermost stands as a banner throughout all time and all creation. He is there to overcome your wrong choices. And if we choose righteousness, if we choose the mountain of blessing that is before us today, as Moshe says, if we choose that righteousness and holiness, then the blessings will flow. And the Haftarah portion is one of those lovely verses which we like to sing about, put into songs, and we like to talk about and pray about. In Yeshayahu 54:17, it says that there is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. It's a wonderful verse, and we love to pray it and we love to sing it, and it is true. But note this: no weapon formed against you shall prosper. There will be times when there will be weapons formed against you. The scripture doesn't say that it's a free-for-all, it's blessing all the way. It says there are times which are going to be difficult. But what its scriptures does say is that when it is fashioned and formed against you, it shall not prosper. That's what the scripture says. But even that verse is wrapped up a condition. It will not prosper if we continue to stay in that path of blessing, to make right choices day after day after day. You walk that path. If you walk that path, then God's promise back to us is, then no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, because you are walking that path of righteousness. We have to stay in the covenant. The decisions, the choices of these two mountains that were put before us by Moshe that day was a very real choice. Stay in the covenant or break the covenant and walk away and do your own thing. The choice is real. It's not a fake choice. There was no right answer that the Lord knew that we would take. No, it was real. And many people chose not to walk in the way of Adonai. God's way or our own way, his demand is to submit ourselves to him and to his authority. It has to be his way, but he always lets us choose. God isn't going to force you. He's not going to go home and you'll find there's an angel taking the pork out of your fridge. It doesn't work that way. It'll stay there and it'll even go in your mouth if you put it there. This is about what you choose. It's always about what you choose. Your decisions, your life choices which are before you. It's not just a matter of being in the land, as we said at the beginning. It's not just a matter of being in a Messianic synagogue. It's not a matter of being in a particular community. These things in themselves are not going to bring you the blessings. You have to choose what path you walk. It's your choices, always. Which brings us to the final and third point. One more point in this passage I want to bring out. Somewhat curiously, where it says here, today you stand and you need to cross over and enter the land, and then it talks about the terebinth trees or the pistachios, whichever you like. Curious, because it must have seemed so blindingly obvious to even say those words when we're queuing up on that side of the Jordan. They said, well, obviously we have to cross over. Moshe, what are you telling us? We can see the river. What's this all about? Because in the final point, it's quite simply this. To inherit the blessings that were going to come to them, you have to cross over. You see, up to this point, we've only been on a journey. Up to this point, we've been taken out of the world, we've been taken out of Egypt, a nation had been born, we'd spent the years wandering in the desert, learning our spiritual lessons. All of that is good, but we still needed to cross over. Ivrit, Hebrew, you know, in the very word itself in Hebrew, this is concept of being the ones who have crossed over. Why is it important that we cross over? Because in the kingdom of God, you cannot sit on the fence. You have to decide. Do you go back to Egypt? Do you stay in the desert? Or do you actually push in and get to the place where you get to your inheritance and the blessings of God? Do you push in? Do you cross over that river to really, truly arrive? Or do you stand there, as in fact we know some of our people did, and look at the wonderful territory for the cows and the flocks, and think, you know what, this is great, we'll stay here. And you know, Moshe was angry with the tribe that didn't want to cross over, because it was important to cross over. It's why he insisted that those of a warring age, the men actually did cross over with the rest of the tribes, because psychologically they needed to go through that immersion, as it were, through the Jordan, to get into the land. They needed to do that, even if they then later went back to their families on the other side again. They needed to cross over. It was a visual example, some drama before us that we actually had to do, that we remember that day. We crossed over. We left the false deities behind, the fake human philosophies, the politics of man. We left all of that behind us at that moment. Today, from this day forward, we would embrace the life-giving ways of the Lord with the choice that was before us. Today, choose life. But we still had to choose. We had to cross over, and we had to choose. And that final connection with the terebinth trees, why even bother mentioning it? What does this remind you of? What's this reference to? Who else sat under this terebinth tree? There was one who'd been there before us, wasn't there? Abraham. It was under these terebinth trees that Moshe evokes here the memory of. It was under these trees that Abraham sat when the Lord first appeared to him in the land and told him of the territory that he was then on would become the national homeland of the nations to be born from him. And at this moment where we are crossing over, Moshe reminds our people it was there that Avraham Avinu, a patriarch, first worshipped Adonai in the land. And he evokes his memory at that point of crossing over, of this small reference to the trees, connecting with this, because he says, again, we will worship the Lord in the land. Who was it who received this covenant of the land that we are about to inherit? He says, it was none other than Abraham. And we are now entering in to fulfill the promise that God gave to him. In other words, he says to them that day, crossing over brings fulfillment of the ancient promises of God and proves and shows God to be faithful. So if you want to be blessed, there are three things you need to do. One, see properly, with real discernment, to understand the choices which God gives you every day. Two, go on to make wise and careful choices, knowing that every one you make either will further or hinder the kingdom, that each choice operates on your life and it is real, and you should make wise and righteous choices and decisions. But if you get it wrong, always remember redemption is sure. And thirdly, you need to cross over. You need to know that you've crossed over, that you are not part of this world and its ways anymore, that the kingdom of God, Israel, is now our home. If you plant these patterns into your life, then they will bring the blessings of God. And we said that Moshe summarizes in Deuteronomy here what life is all about, what the real essence of Torah is. And when you read it this way, you begin to understand he's saying to us, choose life and you will have the blessings of God. Amen. Abinu Malkeinu, Father, we thank you that you've made it so clear in the scriptures which is the path of life. Father, we have to choose your way, and that choice is real. Father, I pray for all of us this morning. Father, we're considering the choices that you put before us. Father, let us choose righteously. Let us make wise choices. Choose life and not death. Father, help us to make those right choices in you. Father, we want your blessings, but Father, you don't just pour them on us for no reason. You give us your blessings when we walk before you in righteousness and obedience and we choose life. Father, we pray, help us to choose life this morning, we pray. B'shem Yeshua Mashiach. Amen.